Everyone, we'll get the hearing underway of submissions on the proposed Southland Water and Land Plan. And just before I ask for submitters to come up to the table, are there anything to report from the reporting officer's team?
No, there isn't.
Okay, thank you very much. The first submitter on my list this morning is Premier Dairies Limited. Do you want to just come on up and have a seat at our submitter table here? And you don't need to stand up, you're very welcome to sit down.
Well, that's lovely.
Good morning and welcome. Thanks for putting in the original submission, which we've read, so you don't need to reread them to us.
Okay.
But you're very welcome to speak to it and highlight your key concerns to us so we have a clear understanding what you'd like us to do.
Yep. Okay, well, look, thank you firstly for the opportunity to speak and be involved in the process. I think that's the first positive on the whole thing, to be fair, that we aren't just being dictated to. However, there is, I suppose, a couple of items that are major concerns to our business. So we, as a family, have been farming in Southland for 17 years. We're farming about 2,100 hectares, just over 4,000 cows, and at peak, just over 2,000 young stock. We're fully self-contained, bar a little bit of imported concentrated feed. And Rule 23, I suppose, is the first item I want to pick on, intensive winter grazing. So at present, we crop about 156 hectares of land, and you work that back through, it's only about 8% of our land.
Yeah.
But the majority of that cropping is done in Mossburn on two land titles. Now, I can easily manipulate your rule and still crop the same amount of land on our farm. And I think our experiences from Europe tell us that farmers will manipulate your rules, you know what I mean? And that I would prefer to work with you on a solution rather than be told you can only crop this amount or be consented or be part of a discretionary activity. I don't agree with how that has been worded. I think we maybe fall a little bit outside the norm in that scenario, but you know, the majority of our land flows into the Areta catchment anyway. Like, you know what I mean? So it's you know, we're going to have the same amount of cows in the same catchment area, but you know what I mean, your rule won't have any effect in my mind. Like, you know what I mean? It'll just alternate how we farm. So I suppose that's the first thing in that. I'd prefer to work with ye, understanding what ye feel we're doing wrong. We don't feel we're doing anything wrong, and we haven't been on the understanding that we're doing anything wrong. And we prefer to work alongside ye to get a better understanding of that and do better mitigation if that's what ye feel is needed, rather than have to go down the consenting route, put more uncertainty and cost into our business, to be honest, you know.
Yeah.
The second one is Rule 38 on animal and vegetable waste. So again, experiences. My brother is on our home farm in Ireland, milking about 550 cows and about 800 acres, I suppose, mainly dairying, but has a bit of cropping and different things like that as well. So you know, we're well versed on the rules of Europe and what they do and how it all works as regards waste management and the rules that people have to farm by in Europe, you know. I suppose on that too, while there's rules in Europe, there's a subsidy to help you abide by those rules, you know what I mean? And that's the challenge, the major challenge we're facing down here. I'm not looking for a subsidy, nor do we want a farmer to put a subsidy. But Europe has a much different set of rules, but the farmers are being aided to get to that level. You know, I mean, we have a different economic argument here on how things should be run. But you've got to be very, very conscious of that fact, you know. So the close period is the main thing, which is Rule 38D, number 4. The close period from the 1st of May to the 30th of September.
I'm just going to interject here, just in case you're not aware, the officers have recommended to us that time limit restriction be removed from the rule.
Oh, okay, sorry, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, so it's only a recommendation, but there's been a lot of submitters asking for it to be removed. So.
Yeah, I completely agree with it, just from seeing what happens in Europe. So regardless of weather in Europe, as soon as a closed period opens, contractors, farmers, everyone is spreading manure on land because they just simply don't have the storage.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And to ask us to have the storage for that period, plus a bad period of weather after the 30th of September, it's just not practical. Mm. You know what I mean? So I'm completely against that. And the third thing, I suppose, maybe kind of mixed together, you know, there's lots of things we could talk about, but these are the items that are highlighted to us in our business.
Mm-hmm.
We do feel that dairy farming has been picked on in this process. We feel it completely unjustified, to be honest. You know what I mean? Dairy farming from what we've seen since being here in 2000, has been nothing but good for Southland, you know what I mean? And it should be held in high regard, not dragged through the bloody trash the way it has been in some shapes and forms. I'm not saying everyone was doing it, but it does feel like we're being picked on. You know, we go out there and we help in our communities and we provide jobs in our communities and we provide a good economic platform for people to progress in. And it should be highlighted as a good thing rather than the things that have sometimes been said about it. And you know, when this process started, there was nothing but cows on your leaflets and stuff about dairy farming and what dairy farming was doing to the environment in Southland. And you know, it felt completely wrong, to be honest. Do you know what I mean? And I see that has improved with your leaflets and different things, and there's more diversity in your pictures and that. But the pictures are what the community sees. You know what I mean? These are what people looking into us are seeing. You know what I mean? And you're painting us in a bad light, which is completely or you were. I won't say you are now, but you were painting us in a bad light at the beginning of this process. And that, you know, that was very, very hard to take, and got a lot of people on the wrong side, because you need us to be involved in this process. If you want to make a serious positive change, if that's what you feel is needed, you need us to be working alongside you. Don't get us up in arms and say, to hell with Environment South, we're going to do everything that you don't want to do, because you're fighting us, you know. And the last thing I suppose I want to talk about is just, you know, the economic uncertainty that this process is having. And I realise the process has to be had, and the process is good, but like, you know, I mean, the leaflets, I think, and this process started over 2 years ago, it'll be another probably year before it's finished. You know, we all have to live and survive economically through all this. We've all made decisions prior to this thing starting, you know what I mean, and your decisions could have huge detrimental effect, both to the individuals and to the Southland community, economically, like, you know what I mean. And you know, there are anxious times. We've recently gone through the new process with the new rules. You know, I was at the beginning of it, to be honest, I didn't see anything majorly wrong with it, bar the extra costs that were involved in it. You know what I mean? And that is a significant cost. So to get about 170 hectares of land added into a dairy platform has cost us $35,000 in consents. You know what I mean? And I'll be straight about it. That consent might have cost us $4,000 or $5,000 a couple of years ago. Nothing came out of that process that changed our farming system. You know what I mean? So I sit here dismayed going, well, what has the extra 30,000 been spent on? You know, we didn't change one practice in our farming process, but we had to spend an extra $30,000 in paperwork. You know what I mean? And to me, why? And you know, why does that need to come into it? And why is this extra regulation required? You know what I mean? Look, at that process, I suppose, we've been through it. I found it a very anxious time, to be quite honest. You know what I mean? The uncertainty that's involved, you know what I mean? We all have to make decisions to keep our farms and businesses moving. And it's just, you know, I know people that are going through it now at the moment too, like, and it's the uncertainty that's involved in the whole thing, you know what I mean, that makes you worry. We have to provide for people. We have to keep our farms moving. And just like, I understand the process has to happen, but it maybe could happen a bit quicker in some parts, you know. Yeah, and I suppose this is a slight thing from a family perspective. So my father was 54 when he invested in Southland as a family business. You know what I mean? We've been here 17 years. He didn't see it as a challenge in 2000. You know what I mean? He lived on the far side of the world. He didn't intend living here. His wife said to him before he came down to Southland, make sure you don't buy a farm when you're down there. He came down to advise a friend on buying a farm. He didn't see it as a challenge then. When this thing came out 2 years ago, the first thing he asked me is, it time to sell? You know what I mean? And that's only a personal thing from our family. But at that stage, 17 years ago, he didn't see it as a challenge. He sees the rules that you're bringing in, you know what I mean, as a major challenge to the economy and different things in Southland. It's just something to be aware of. I know most of you are, but it's a major thing, like, and not to put the onus fully on yourselves, but if you get this thing wrong, it could have huge detrimental effects, you know what I mean? So that's where I'm at.
Thanks very much for that, Ian. Across your points of view very clearly. I'll see if we have any questions for you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I must note for the record that I have been involved with the Clinton business for a number of years in different roles, and I'm quite familiar with that business. But I'd just like to ask on the pond drop test you mentioned in your submission.
Yeah.
Would you like to clarify that a little bit more, what your concern is there?
Well, in my understanding is that we have to get these tests, or these ponds tested at the end of each consent period. And so our ponds now are constructed, they're lined, and they've got leakage detection already on them. And so why do we have to spend the money getting a drop test on a pond that we already can define whether it's leaking or not before the drop test? And so, like, my understanding is that's what the drop test is there to do, is to define whether it's leaking. Like, we already have networks of pipes underneath these ponds, they're lined in different things to tell us if they are leaking. Why do we need that extra cost?
And a number of other submitters have actually made the same comment, so thank you for that. I'd just like to pick up, could you just explain a little bit more about your winter grazing program? While you've got milking platforms, and it is 8% of your total area, but because of your structure and the way you work, can you give us a little bit more of a feel on the wintering area that you have, how much is in crop and what your rotations are?
Yeah, so we have about 400 hectares, I suppose, that we mainly winter animals on. It's a 7-year rotation. At the moment, it goes from fodder beet to kale, and then into grass, and so it's in grass for about 4 to 5 years in that 7-year period. And, you know, I suppose we've done that involved with agronomists and different things to try and make sure we're doing right by every scenario, you know what I mean? So I suppose it's our animals go up there roughly for a 10-week winter, and they come off the dairy farms down in Southland and go up there and then come back down. So, like, I'm not sure how much more I can say in it other than that, really. Like, you know what I mean? Like I said, I can easily manipulate that rule. We can put a dairy shed in Mossburn, we can milk cows up there, and we can just put 8% of our dairy farms into crop and have the same amount of cows in the catchment. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
I understand that. You've made a comment here about the 20 and 50 hectares. Could you, in your view, others have suggested a percentage would be better. Do you have a solution to the problem to stop the manipulation that you've actually talked about?
Do I have work with us and explain the situation, I suppose, is probably the simplest thing. Like, you mean that explain what your actual concerns are and ways of mitigating it. You know, we've made significant investments in Southland, but also in Mossburn for that specific task. You know what I mean? And for you to come in and say now it's a consented thing, a discretionary consented activity, you know, that puts huge anxiety and worry into our business, because they go, well, what if you come back and say, well, actually, you can't do that, people, like, you know what I mean? And you have to do it a different way, and, you know, who's going to help us pay for the different way, like, you know what I mean? And that's the major concern. As regards an alternative way of doing it, I suppose I just prefer to work alongside someone and to, you know, maneuver into a situation that you feel is, and show, once you can show us the actual benefits of why to move to something different or do something different, then we'll work alongside you. Once you work alongside us, to put a figure on it, to me is, you know, it's too easily manipulated, to be honest. You know what I mean? Like, again, if I want to stay under 50 hectares of crop in Mossburn and become not a discretionary activity, I'll just put fodder beet in, I'll cut all the grass off the remaining 350 hectares, and I'll feed it in that 50 hectares. You know what I mean? Like, I want to work with you, but I can also work against you. You know what I mean? Like, and that's, I suppose, what I'm trying to get through to you. I'm more than happy to work with you, but make it too hard, I will work against you. You know what I mean?
Thank you, Mr. Evans.
Oh, no questions, thank you.
Oh, very clear, thank you.
Nice.
So, you winter in Mossburn, have you got an estimate of the effects on groundwater, for example, in the area under your winter grazing?
I couldn't back it up with figures. I have seen the figures that you've released, on the effects, and to me, well, on the results I saw probably 6 to 8 months ago, there didn't seem to be a major effect on that area that we were in.
So you haven't done anything special to try and minimise those losses other than normal practices?
Well, we've grown oats after crops and things like that to try and take nutrients up, you know what I mean, on different trials, and we try to minimise damage. We back fence as quick as we can to keep animals moving. We try to mitigate pugging. You know what I mean? Look, we do, when new practices and new techniques come out, we try to adopt them where we can, where we see benefit to both the environment and to ourselves, you know what I mean? So we're actively, we're positive about it. We have no... It's of no benefit to us to be detrimental to the environment. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, we've been farmers in our family for generations. You know what I mean? Like, this is our livelihoods. You know what I mean? It's of no benefit to us to go out and knowingly do something wrong. If you can give us the facts and figures, you know, farmers are adaptable. You know what I mean? They'll understand it. They're clever people. Like, you know what I mean? It's of no interest, like I said, to be detrimental to the environment.
So what's your view on having a farm environment management plan?
If it's effective, I suppose, to be honest, because, you know, ink, paper doesn't refuse ink. We can put stuff down there. It's very hard to police it, I suppose, is probably the simple way of saying it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people can put down what they're doing, but unless someone actually goes out and looks at it and verifies it, you know what I mean? Like, how do you know you're making a difference? Like, you know what I mean? And yes, the farm environment plans, look, they're a step in the right direction, I suppose, from as regards it gets people thinking about what they're doing and understanding. Maybe some people might have a different understanding of what they're doing to what they actually are doing, so maybe it gets the process going. But again, that can be, in my mind, it can be manipulated. Like, and I'm only speaking from experience, I suppose, in our family, from what's happened in Europe. An awful lot of legislation has come into farming in Europe. You know what I mean? And you can see what it does. Like, when people are against the wall, like we saw with the last 2 years or 3 years done in dairy farming, like, you know, people have to make decisions. And it comes down, financially, it does have an effect. You know what I mean? And the last thing you want is for too many rules to come in, and, you know, the whole economy will suffer if decisions are wrong that are made, to be fair. I mean, you only have to go and talk to the people in town, the amount of layoffs there was when Deering was at 390 and 440. If the rules that come in drive our costs so high, well, it won't matter if it's at $6, we still won't be able to make money. You know what I mean? So, like, it's, like, you know what I mean, you're still going to have a major impact. So, look, I'm positive on trying to do the right thing. Give us the concrete information of where you see the major issues and what you see that we can do differently. You know what I mean? But putting a number on a page, like I say, it can be manipulated. You know?
Okay. We've already talked about Rule 38 and applying effluent in the winter. Now the recommendation is that be taken out. But are there other things such as soil temperature or soil moisture that you should have regard to, and how would you deal with those things?
Look, that'd be the one major positive I see in the difference between a closed period and soil moisture from Europe to here. I think it's an extremely positive way of looking at it, because it's the practical way to look at it, in my mind. Like, I don't know what the numbers should be and shouldn't be, but I think the concept behind it, as regards when is the land able to take the nutrients, or when is it not running off the top, is a better way to look at it rather than having a set period. You know what I mean? I couldn't give you facts and figures on the numbers, but I'm definitely behind that process on how it should be done, you know.
And regarding the pond drop test, you say that if the pond's been built, an engineer approved, and it's got monitoring devices in it, it's
yeah,
not needed. What about ponds that don't have those things, say clay lined ponds?
Yeah, look, I agree that they might need to be tested, to be fair, but, you know, I mean, I think for, there are less and less, or fewer and fewer in the Southland, you know what I mean, those types of ponds, you know what I mean, so I think the ponds that already have the leakage detection systems on them, they should automatically just pass through that. Like, they obviously have to be tested that they're not leaking, you know what I mean, but they should just pass through that process. Like, a leakage detect, a drop test on a pond, I think, is anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000, like, you know what I mean. Like, and it's these things, we have to be spending money where we're making a difference. Like, I mean, we can't just be spending money for the sake of spending money. And I go back to that process, you know what I mean, of the most recent consent. Like, $35,000 is an awful lot of money, like, you know what I mean? Like, and to have nothing majorly different come out of it is where I have the major issue with that, like, you know what I mean? And that's on our farming practice, you know what I mean? That's where I have the problem.
Okay, thanks very much. It's been helpful.
Thank you.
And thanks, Mr. Clinton. I have no further questions, but thanks very much for coming in and speaking to us this morning.
Thank you for your time.
New Zealand Fire Service.
Thank you.